something that may be edifying to the congregation. For a short time this afternoon, we'll be talking about the Apostle Paul and something that in regards to warning others. It's from a speech made by the Apostle Paul to the elders of Ephesus, and it's recorded in Acts chapter 20. And he's reminding them of his preaching and teaching while he was working with them. And he had to come there and established the church. And for 3 years, he continued to teach them. He was continually making known to them duties and responsibilities and warning them of the consequences of sin and of unfaithfulness. It says in verse 32, he had not shunned to declare all the counsels of God, and had kept back nothing that was profitable to them. That is found in verse 20. In short, he was a courageous and he was a faithful servant of God. In the Old Testament Ezekiel, the priest of God was told by the Lord, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. This is in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. See, Ezekiel could have excused himself by saying the people would not listen. But the Lord precluded that in the previous chapter. He said, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." We find that in verse 7 of Ezekiel chapter 2. This warning serves two purposes. It would make the person warned aware of the sin and the consequences of it, but it would make Ezekiel free from the blood of the individual warned. You know, when I was younger and I was taught about the responsibilities of living a good life and to be careful of the influences of the world and the influences of others, and that if you hang around the wrong type of people or associate with the wrong type of people, a lot of times you can be judged by the company you keep. And so I thought at a younger age that, well, why don't you just stay away from everybody? If you stay away from everybody and all you have is yourself and the Bible, and you read the Bible every day and do what you know to be right, maybe be kind of a person that just goes up in the mountains and lives your whole life, you know, with in solitude, you know, surely that'd be okay. You wouldn't have any negative influences that way. Well, this kind of put a stop or a damper on that idea. Because we're not just here to live the life we know to live and to not do anything wrong. We're here to spread God's word. And we're here to share the good news with others. And if we're not doing that, we're still not doing what we're supposed to do. So this example is primarily for the benefit of a person warned, but also benefited the one doing the warning by keeping him free from guilt. In the New Testament, it was the Apostle Paul who wrote to the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible reads, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." Also in Galatians chapter 10, he writes to the Galatians, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." The apostle was a servant of Christ, not a politician. He was not out to please men. He was not out to seek the favor of others. But he was out to seek what God wanted. Paul was not interested in popularity, but he was interested in the salvation of people's souls. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, he wrote, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." We have insight of his attitude when he writes to these same people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." When Paul addresses the elders of Ephesus, he can boldly assert, "I am pure of the blood of all men." And this is reading from Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. It says, "I am pure of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And moving on to verse 31, he says, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." He also wrote to Timothy, a preacher of the gospel. He wrote, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." That's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. And also to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verse 15, he writes, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority." In the second letter to Timothy, when Paul was writing to him, we can find in chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, he even goes on to say and write, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." He also let us know that men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. I believe that all honest men can agree that we are living in such a time as what has been mentioned earlier. When Jesus was on earth, he preached, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." He said this, and we can read this, and it's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And moving on, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Think about that for a second. In today's time, not a lot of people take kindly to instruction. Jesus was crucified for his teaching. John the Baptist was beheaded for the truth he spoke. And Stephen, a faithful disciple of Christ, was stoned to death for preaching the truth to the Jews. And when Paul writes to the Galatians, that is what he asked. He asked, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" How many times have we tried to help someone, maybe a friend, maybe a family member? And we all know that coined phrase, "Sometimes the truth hurts." There's not a lot of people these days that like to hear the truth sometimes. They don't like to be instructed. Of course, a lot of times people, what they like to think is constructive criticism is mostly just criticism. It's kind of a two-way street. But truth only makes friends of those who want to know and do what's right. It's dangerous for one not to love the truth, all of it. Because of a wrong attitude, some change the truth of God into a lie, which are the exact words of Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Paul said of others, though, in 2 Thessalonians, you can find this in chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, we'll read, the Bible says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." There's only so much that we as Christians can do. There's only so much that God's Word can do in regards to trying to convince those who are stubborn-minded and those who are insistent upon following the wrong path or the way that they have been following all their lives. And so it says that some will be delivered with a reprobate mind. It says here that they will be given strong illusions to believe the lie that they want to believe. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The wise man of the Bible, Solomon, declares, fools despise wisdom and instruction. The man who does not want to be warned of sin, nor instructed in righteousness, living is foolish and jeopardizes his own salvation." The Word of God teaches us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." So in closing, we need to remember what Paul told the elders of Ephesus. He said, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And if we love the souls of men and women and want to see others saved, we as Christians cannot cease to preach the truth, to warn others of the need of doing what is right. So where do we stand this evening? If we're doing what's right in our lives, good, we're on the right track. But that's not all. We need to warn others. We need to spread God's word. We need to share the good news. We need to help others find the right path. Be a light shining out in the world. If there's anyone who is subject to the gospel call, we would ask that you would come. If there's anyone who wishes to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, we would ask that you would come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.